be lifted high, so all the world will see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There's healing.
Worship the Lord. Let's give him some time this morning. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Your name is powerful. Your name is above every name. And truly there is healing in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Salvation, deliverance. Lord, everything we need is in your name. You just want us to believe that. In your name, through your blood, through your resurrection, there is power for your people to meet every need. We thank you for that. Let's do it again.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? And isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and Word of us, lover of my soul, isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glories of your name is all.
broken when it's broken. Every knee will bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glories of your name. Be lifted high, so all the world will see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There's healing.
And the Lord would say, I am with you. I am always with you, no matter what you go through. Never doubt that I am with you, my child, no matter the pain, no matter the struggle, no matter the trial. I am with you. Always believe that, trust that, cling to that. Your faith will see you through. And I want to say, I know that is for someone in this room today. Faith is not feelings. Faith is trusting what God has said in His Word. And He said, if you are His child and you are seeking Him, He will never leave you or forsake you, even in the midst of the fire. And He didn't say you wouldn't go through the fire. You wouldn't be delivered from it every time. Sometimes you got to go through it. But remember where He was when they were in the fire. Where was He? With them. Amen. And I know somebody needed that this morning. He's with you. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, we're having technical difficulties, probably censorship, more than likely. We are not able to broadcast this morning to YouTube or Facebook, but we are broadcasting to, was it your stream? What is the website? Just go to our website, fireandgracechurch.org, and you'll find it, the stream there. All right. Well, hallelujah. It's always something. The devil's always up to something. Probably didn't like this message I'm going to talk about this morning. Because I really, it's kind of two titles this morning. I kind of wrestled with them, either calling it the mystery of Melchizedek or the warrior spirit. Might call them both. I don't know. But first, before we get in, we got to look at a few scriptures first. So I want you to go, first of all, to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we are recording here, right? Okay, that's good. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to go down to verse 16, a very important verse. Got a lot of verses this morning. Made me a few little notes of verses this morning. As a subject, though, I preached on many years ago. I remember doing a series on this in the 90s sometime. Long time ago. But this is something we need to get a hold of, all right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, can we just say, all agree that that's true? All scripture. It didn't say just the New Testament or just the Old Testament, but we have to take everything in context. We have to rightly divide the Word of God. But it doesn't mean, you know, we've got people that want to throw out most of the New Testament, you know, the Torah heads that I call them, or the Torah terrorists, right, that want to make you try to keep the Old Testament law, ceremonies and rituals and things to be righteous. And then you've got people, though, who are just strictly New Testament, and if you bring up anything, any doctrine or anything principle in the Old Testament, they throw that out, all right? But both sides of that issue is wrong, all right? We must balance the word and rightly divide the word. And a lot of times we just simply need to understand some things. Now, this mystery of Melchizedek is interesting because I'm going to tell you that the New Testament was happening in the Old Testament a couple of places, a couple of times. All right? Now, here's another verse I want to go to. I'm going to go to Revelation 13:8. All scripture, just remember that, all scripture is profitable for doctrine. Somebody say doctrine. Doctrine. All right. All right. Revelation 13:8. Yeah, I've been wanting to do this for a while, so it just kind of all came together. So, Revelation 13:8, and we won't read the whole thing. We know this is about the beast and the false prophet and the rise of the Antichrist, and this is end time context. But he said here, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, talking about the Antichrist, the dragon, Satan, the beast. So there'll be Satan worship, mass Satan worship in the end. The church website. Oh, wow. The devil really hates this message. Yeah, and you know what? Just like a good stew, it's better as it second, and third time, right? All right. Anyway, let's we gotta look at this. This is crazy, man. Oh boy. Again, just trying to lay the foundation here. Now, so we've got all scripture, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God is outside of time. In him, everything that has been done or will be done or is happening, it's all in him. All right? To him, it's already done. That's why he said that true faith, like Abraham, he said with Abraham, he called Abraham the father of many nations when he couldn't even have children because he said he calls those things that be not as though they were. Well, why does God do that? Because in him, they already are. Okay? It's all done. It's all finished. When Jesus said it's finished, he meant it. In him, everything is complete. All right? Now that you get a hold of that, now let's go to some other scriptures, all right? Because we're going to look at this. First of all, let's just get an understanding of something of the character and nature of God. Because I am going to talk about the warrior spirit. We're going to bring this all the way back into the natural world in which we live. All right, so Exodus 15:3. I'll go ahead and put that. Exodus 15:3. And we're going somewhere today, but we got to start off with baby steps. The Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, the Lord is a man of war. Y'all see that? And the Lord is his name, just in case you didn't know it. The Lord is a man of war. That is his character and nature. What does that mean? What is that in the world does that mean? That means the Lord can save you or he can kill you. You hear what I'm saying? He is a man of war. That is who he is. He is not playing games with mankind, nor is he playing games with the wicked. You understand? That's his nature. When Jesus comes back and talks about the blood running to the horse's bridle, that doesn't sound sweet and nice. Right? He's merciful. He is loving. He is forgiving. He is patient beyond what we can comprehend. But he is also judge. He is also a man of war. And he is also going to deal with the wicked severely. The wages of sin is death. That is both physical and spiritual. Okay? So we need to understand that is the character and nature of God. Whether you like it or you don't like it. The wicked and the rebels, they hate this because they know they're going to give an account to the Lord who is a man of war. All right? Now let's keep going. We got a lot to cover. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. We're going to read here. Because we're going to look at Abraham and Melchizedek today. The mystery of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Mm-hmm. And who, what is this? And this is something else. The relationship that Abraham had with him is quite amazing, especially with what Jesus said about him. So, y'all there yet? Now, Abraham is called the father of our faith, and we are called children of Abraham if we are born again through Jesus, right? So, we're still connected to Abraham. And in Galatians, Paul's making the case that Abraham was 430 years before the law was instituted. That Abraham, when we look at Abraham, he is an example of what it means to walk with God in faith, to walk in a relationship, hearing his voice, doing his will, seeing his miracles, and being obedient and passing the tests that come our way, but also being a warrior. This is what's overlooked, and I'm going to talk about Abraham had a warrior spirit, and Melchizedek liked that about it. All right? Now, let's read this. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 here on this one. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham. Y'all hear that? Then the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now let's go to John 8, right? So the Scripture says here that the gospel was preached to Abraham, right? Now go to John chapter 8. John 8, we're going to read verses 56 through 58. Y'all following me? So the gospel was preached to Abraham. Wait a minute now. Abraham was a long time before Jesus. Right? All right. Well, let's look at it. What did Jesus say? Now, Jesus is in an argument. Yes, an argument or debate, you could say, with the Pharisees. And he says to them here in John 8, 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." What? Abraham, can you imagine how that fried their brains? What? Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And it says they picked up stones to kill him. That's what religious folks do. I'm getting a lot of stones lately for a lot of different things. But you know what? We're not all supposed to be the same. Let me just say this, and I'm not going to make you turn there, but 1 Corinthians 12 says this. It says we're the body of Christ. There's eyes, and there's the hand, and there's the feet. And it says the eye can't say to the hand, "I have no need of you." The feet can't say to the hand or the eyes, "I don't need you." We're not all called to do and be exactly the same thing, okay? But it's amazing how we get in our heads and our brains that everybody should be like us when we become Christian. You know, whether it's our denomination or whether it's our own convictions or conscience on issues, and we just think that the only way anybody should be is like us. And I just know, look, we have to be the same in one regard. We all must be born again through faith in the blood of Jesus, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the Messiah, the Redeemer. We must believe that. We must surrender our lives. There are certain truths that we must agree on and believe on. But listen, we're not all called to do the same thing. And I've seen this. I've seen battles between people who are evangelists who think everybody should be like them preaching on the street corner. Well, guess what? If God tells you to go preach on the street corner, go preach on it. But just because an evangelist thinks you should be like them and you're called to be a pastor, right? And then pastors think that evangelists should, you know, some of them should just calm down, right? But they'll get butting heads with each other when they're supposed to be complementary parts of the body of Christ. One does one job, another does another job. That's what I loved about the Brownsville Revival. One thing about the Brownsville Revival, again, it wasn't perfect, but John Kilpatrick was a true pastor. Steve Hill was a true evangelist. And they said plainly many times through the revival, look, Steve would say, "I don't want his job." And Pastor John would say, "I don't want his job." Because they were both called and gifted in different to do different things. And they had to have a different anointing. And they had to have a different spirit about them that God developed in their lives. That God trained them to do and be a certain way. So we're not all going to be exactly the same. And just because somebody's not exactly the same as us does not mean we have to combat them, right? And I get it all the time. I'm like, you know what? If you feel so strongly about that, then do that. You know, but it doesn't mean I have to, right? Oh, boy, I tell you, it gets going crazy. All right, so what did Jesus say? Abraham what? Rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then we just read in Galatians 3 that what? The gospel was preached to Abraham. Now let's go to Genesis 14 and see when this happened. Isn't this amazing? We've been to Revelation, Galatians, the Gospels. Now back to Genesis. This is what you do when you establish doctrine. You got to be all over the book. All right? Here we go. If I can get there. All right. Genesis 14, verse 1. We're going to read a good bit of this. And pardon me if I massacre these names in here. I even worked on them a little bit this morning. Like, these names are just in something else right here. All right. So, and it came to pass in the days of Amramphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and Kedolamar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. I thought this was interesting. I'd read this before, and I did. King of nations. So these were, you know, and they say that these were no small kings here with no small armies. These were serious players in that day. Anyway, these made war with Bera, the king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, or whatever, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. And all these were joined together in the vale or the valley of Sidim, which is the Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea. I've been there. All right. 12 years they served Kedolamar, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Kedolamar and the kings that were with him and came and smote the Rephaims. Now, that was, they came and fought against giants there. The Rephaims were giants, as in they fought in Ashtaroth, Carnium. And the Zazumans, they were also Nephilim giants in Ham. And the Ammonims, they were also giants in Sheva Kirthim. So it's interesting they're fighting giants. Again, these were, as Joe Biden would say, this is like Corn Pop and his bad boys here, okay? Corn Pop was a bad dude, he said, and he ran a lot of bad boys. All right, so this is Corn Pop and his boys here. All right. Biden, he's something else. I mean, what presidential candidate would talk about children rubbing his leg? Not in this time. Your brain's gone. All right. But anyway, it goes on to say that these fought against Sodom, and we're going to jump down. And they came, and they says, let's go down to verse 11, it says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, all their food, and they went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anar. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them. Armed them, his servants and his family, and pursued this army who was destroying everybody, who was fighting giants and winning. All right? And Abraham's like, they got my family. That's it. They got my family. It's time to pick up your arms and go deal with the problem, all right? So, what happens? Let's keep going. Verse 14, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them. You know what that means? Killed them all. And pursued them unto Horeba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Here's our father of faith. He's a warrior, willing to do what was necessary to defend his family. It's important. Just remember that. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's the time of war and there's the time of peace. It even says this in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to kill and there's a time to keep alive. There's a lot of Christians in this world that think that, you know, I guess they think all of our soldiers and policemen and, you know, I guess they think they're all evil if they have to kill somebody to protect or defend the innocent. I don't understand some of the thinking here. But there is actually a time for defense of the weak. And I don't understand people that don't comprehend that. Well, we're going to keep going. Now, it says, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him. You notice that the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. Abraham's 318 folks, they were more than the, you know, corn pops dudes, right? Why? They had the hand of God upon them. Now, notice this. And, verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem. How many of you know what Salem, where Salem was? Salem became Jerusalem. All right? King of Salem, or Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, Abraham, that is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And, of course, the king of Sodom wanted to give him something, and Abram said, I'm not taking it because I don't want to be said you made me rich. But this Melchizedek comes forth, and I want you to notice, first of all, he brought bread and wine. There is no ritual or ceremony in the Old Covenant law that uses bread and wine together. But there is one in the New Testament. Right? What is that? Communion. Now, when was that instituted? The Last Supper, right before Jesus was crucified. Well, wait a minute now. This Melchizedek's bringing bread and wine after Abraham comes back from a slaughter of the wicked and delivering his family. Did Abraham want to go to war? Did Abraham want to fight? No. You don't ever see that, him doing that. But when these wicked people took his family, kidnapped them, he went to war. He became a warrior. Can I just say this before I get any deeper into this? Is this one thing. I'm okay with you if you're not a warrior, but I am. Don't criticize me. People are criticizing me because of my Second Amendment video, but I ask these questions. Do you have a family? If a rapist broke in your house, are you just going to stand there and let them do it to your wife, your daughters? What if I'm in Walmart and somebody pulls out a gun and starts shooting people? I'm supposed to let them do it? What's wrong with people? Why can't we understand there's a difference between becoming a serial killer or a murderer versus trying to defend the weak and the helpless or the women and children? We've just got a completely wrong concept. Jesus is the one. I had to remind these folks, Jesus is the one that told them, right at the, in fact, at the Last Supper, same context, to go get a sword, to go buy a sword. I had somebody just tell me the other day, I was talking about the spiritual sword. No, because then they showed Jesus real swords, and he said, okay, that's enough, you got enough. Can I just say this? Any man that doesn't understand that he has a right from God to defend and protect his family, even if he has to stop an evil person with lethal force, I question that, where that man's heart and brain is. You understand? This doesn't make any sense. And see, our founding fathers, they didn't want to go to war either, but one of the things they said is we have an inalienable right to protect and defend our families. There are evil people in the world that want to do us harm. And there's a lot of people thinking we just sit back and do nothing. Now, there's a time. Listen, there's a time to be a martyr. But that's different. Like I've told people, if I'm out on the corner preaching the gospel and somebody comes up to shoot me, I'm not drawing on them. But if they go after them or you in my presence, I have a moral responsibility. And let me just say this. Those of you who think you should be, you Christians that think we should be total pacifists, you better be glad there's people like me. Because a lot of you would be in prison camps right now speaking German and getting raped on a regular basis. Is that the way you want to live? Well, God can protect us. Yeah, he can. He can provide for us too, but you better still go to work. Man don't work, he don't eat. It's what Jesus said through Paul, right? This is something I'm trying to get at. I don't understand people. If I came up on some armed men, and I'm just going to say it, raping little kids, they're dead men. Because either I stand back and let them torture those kids to death, or I do something. I don't get it why this is hard. David, you think David, the man after God's own heart, he was a warrior. You know, we forget that what made him famous was he killed Goliath and then cut his head off for good measure just to make sure he was really dead. Yeah. Say, Pastor Dean, are you talking about the church should rise up and become some militia? No. Never, 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 ever, no. But do we have the right to defend our families and the weak and the helpless and those that have been drawn toward death? Yes, we do. And this was the heart. Listen, why I'm bringing this up. This, you see this in Abraham. This was in his heart. And he is the father of our faith. And he knew Jesus. And he knew the gospel. We just read it, Galatians 3 says the gospel was preached to Abraham. We just saw in John 8 that Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And we see this Melchizedek coming with bread and wine and blessing Abraham, and Abraham giving him tithes. Right? So let's see. Let's make sure who this is. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. If there's any doubt that this is the pre-incarnate, you could say, I don't even know if that's a good term, but this is Jesus. Let's go to, Hebrews 7. Somebody say this is good stuff. It's not because it's me, it's because it's in the book. Verse 1. So you remember David in Psalm 110 said that he was a, God spoke of David, said he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and that the Messiah would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is a mystery, right? But that was before the law. Before the law, but yet would be eternal. Let's read this. Hebrews 7, and we'll just read a few verses. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king. So he references Genesis 14. He said, this Melchizedek met him when he returned from the slaughter of the kings. What? To bless him. Obviously, he wasn't upset with him. He said he met him, Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation of this Melchizedek, king of righteousness. You see that? Who's the king of righteousness? And after that also, the king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Who's the prince of peace or the king of peace? And then, in case you have any doubts, he says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually, forever. So who could that be? That has no beginning, no end, the King of righteousness, the King of peace, the high priest of the Most High God as well. So fulfilling both being God and being the Son of God. There's only one. It's Jesus. So Melchizedek is Jesus. So think about this. The Lord Jesus appeared to Abraham and brought bread and wine and used that like he did with the disciples to explain the gospel. The gospel was preached to Abraham, meaning he told Abraham, this bread's going to become, my body's going to become, I'm going to take on a human body, and I'm going to be born of a virgin, and I'm going to live a sinless life, but this body's going to be broken. This body's going to be destroyed. And then he said, the wine is my blood that's going to be shed for the remission of sins. And Abraham understood that because God had already taught them about blood covenant, and something has to die. This is where the gospel was preached to Abraham, and it was preached to him by Jesus himself. You hear me? So what am I getting about Abraham? What you have here with Abraham and the Lord is basically the New Testament happening in the Old Testament. And the same thing happened with King David. See, King David was of the tribe of Judah. He was not of the tribe of Levi. Therefore, he should never have been allowed to be a priest. But David was allowed to set up his own tabernacle in his in the backyard and bring the Ark of the Covenant in there with no veil. And he didn't die. And God had spoken to him and said, David was a prophet, a priest, and a king, but not a priest after the Levitical priesthood. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because from him would come the physical body for Jesus. All right? So David got those years when he brought the ark in, and there was the tabernacle of David. You know what the tabernacle of David is so important? We understand that it was the New Testament happening in the Old Testament. Because David commits adultery and lives. Old covenant law, Moses' law, said you commit adultery, you are stoned to death. That's the punishment. Why didn't David die? Why did David get to put the ark in his backyard in his own tabernacle that he built and put singers in there and praise and worship teams in there 24 hours a day? Why did he get to do that? Because it was a different thing going on. You notice that when David dies, that ends. When David dies, Solomon is instructed to build a temple, put the veil back up. The ark's hidden. The Levitical priesthood, the only one who could see it, have access to it. Because what you had was a season of New Testament relationship, praise and worship, intimacy with God. That's why you hear David talking about God's presence all the time. David got to experience the new covenant while living in the old, because in God there is no time. All right? That's why we can look at things like with Abraham and David, and that Old Testament scripture can be New Testament doctrine. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm bringing this out about everything about that. Everything about David, King David, and Abraham could hear God's voice. They had their own personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. They talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being anointed with fresh oil. They talked about, you know, seeing the visions and just walking with the Lord. I mean, that's why, listen, if it wasn't that way, we would not have such a good example to go by. You know what I'm saying? From the Old Testament. Those windows that happened there. Even with Moses, see, I believe Moses got to see it. But Moses' job was to institute the law, but Moses was up on that mountain and got to see it all. That's why when he came down, his face was glowing. But he had to put the veil on his face, right? See, God wanted to be with his people like he was with Abraham and David, but, you know, they couldn't handle it. They said, hide your face. And that really, you know what, that really describes a lot of people in the church world too, doesn't it? There are people that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They hunger and thirst for his glory, for intimacy with him, to hear his voice and to walk with him, to walk in faith, to be a warrior. And then there's folks that say, I don't want to see that. Don't want to hear that. Don't want that. I'm good. I'm good with my churchette for Christianettes and my sermonettes. Right? And what's amazing about that is 2 Corinthians, in fact, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about, if you think about the glory of that old covenant, the glory of the old covenant where Moses' face was shining and then covered with a veil, he says, what? How much more glory should we have in this new covenant? How much more relationship? How much more intimacy? How much more power? But also, how much more should we be as a warrior? Listen, John, put up, go ahead and put up John 15, 13. So why are you talking about this, Pastor Dean? Because in the days ahead, we talk about, everybody loves to talk about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not about, it's not flesh and blood, but it's just spirits we fight. Well, let me just go on and inform you of something. Spirits we're fighting against, that are working against us, eventually get in people and act out. And when that happens, yeah, you can bind and rebuke them. But you better hope there's some people in place who are willing to take care of them. All right? 15:30, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, of course, Jesus was talking about himself laying down his life for us, right? But he said it in a way as to let us know this is not just about me, it's a principle. So let me tell you, a warrior has in his heart, I'm willing to do whatever is necessary, even if I have to lay down my life fighting against evil to protect somebody else. You know, I know mamas. Let me tell you something. Mamas are fierce. Somebody threatened a woman's child. I've seen videos of women where they have a child and somebody's trying to kidnap that child, and that woman beats the fire out of a grown man. That's when you call the warrior spirit rising up. That's what I'm talking about. That warrior spirit says, guess what? I'm not out to hurt you. I love you. I bless you. I'll bless and love my enemies and pray for my enemies and do good to my enemies. But there is a line you better not cross, because it isn't about me. I will lay down my life to protect somebody else. And ladies out there, especially you unmarried ladies, if you got a man that's not willing to protect you by whatever means he needs to do it by, run. You don't need these little soy boy, skinny jeans, afraid to eat meat. I'm sorry. Scared of a gun, scared of a knife. Like I said. And see, somebody, you know, they just went off on me. Well, you just worldly. You're just not in faith. I'm like, you don't have the experiences I've had. I've never had to shoot anybody, but let me tell you, 3 a.m. one morning, I'm visiting my great aunts who live next door to my aunt, my mother's sister. 3 o'clock in the morning, it was Christmas, day after Christmas. And 3 o'clock in the morning, phone rings. It's like 27 degrees out. That's freezing. Phone rings. My aunt is hysterical. Somebody is trying to break down my front door. And the guy heard her in there and was still trying to break down her front door. She had called the police. Do you know how much longer it took the police to get there? Another 15 minutes. I said, I'll be right there. So I came out with the 12-gauge shotgun and racked it and pointed it at the guy and said, you better stop. And I'm going to tell you, he got his hands up in the air. Don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. I said, keep your hands up, don't move. And he said, I was just cold. I said, well, he said, I just wanted a cup of coffee. Yeah, you break into somebody's house because, you know, you hear a woman screaming inside and you still want to break in. Let me tell you something. I stopped this violent individual's intentions and held him until the state troopers came and picked him up with a gun. And had he turned at me with a gun, I would have shot him. You understand? Well, Pastor Dean, that's not Christian. Yeah, it is. There's a difference between murdering somebody and defending the weak. And we better get a hold of that. Because in the days ahead, there are evil people that want to, they want to rape every woman they see. They want to steal children and rape them. This is no game we're playing. We're dealing with very evil people. People that want to take little kids to satanic meetings and ritualistically abuse them. This is not a game. So if you think you need to play patty cake with these kind of people, you are a fool. See, I've looked Satan straight in the eyes that have abused children, proven in court. And I've looked them in the eyes and said, if I ever see you near these children, I will kill you. Why? Because this is not a game. It's about protecting those children. It's not about, you know, your pious theology of passivity. This is ridiculous. I thank God that there's been men and women in our country that understand this principle that, you know what, I'm willing to give up my life to go fight bad people so they don't come here and kill you and me. Yes, and our government screwed up and got us into wars we shouldn't have been in. That's all true. But that's not these people's motivation. Our soldiers volunteer. Y'all hear that? They volunteer to go into these dangerous places against dangerous people or do dangerous things to protect us so that we're not speaking German or Arabic or Chinese. So you folks better wake up. See, you know what? Some of our leaders over the years have understood that, you know, the United States having nuclear weapons is a deterrent. Just the fact that we have them has really kept us from having to use them again. Why? Because as long as people know you hit us with the big stick, we're going to hit you with a bigger stick. So don't hit us, and let's just be at peace, right? But you start trying to touch my family, then the Abraham warrior spirit's going to rise up. And it seems like Melchizedek was just fine with it. Oh, I'll hear it. No, I'm not. I put it right in context. Sister Jean. America is going to be invaded, you guys. I hear Chinese troops are amassing in Canada on the northwest border. There's been credible evidence and video of that. What's interesting is God told me that almost a year ago. In fact, it was a year ago. The Lord spoke to me and said, the Chinese will invade from the west, Muslims from the north, Russia from the east, and other forces that have amassed in Mexico from the south. We'll be invaded. But the Lord told me he will not make a full end. He will not allow them to completely take over and destroy the United States. It's coming. He's saying, Pastor Dean, the Chinese move into Opelika. Would you pick up a rifle? Oh, absolutely. So that's not very Christian. Well, yeah, it is, because I'm a warrior. You know what? If you're not, it's okay. Just get behind me. I'll try to protect you. And you know why? Because I love you. And it's okay, because guess what? I get to love you more than I have to love that wicked person. Really? You say, Pastor D, you're supposed to love everybody the same. Where do you get that from? Galatians 6 talks about we should do good and especially do good to the household of faith. Right? See, the problem, again, the problem with most Christians is they only know enough of the Bible to make them dangerous. You have to know enough to be balanced. There is a time of peace and there's a time of war. There is a time to kill and a time to keep alive. There's a time, he says, to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to speak and a time to keep silence. Right? Is that eternal wisdom from Solomon, from God through Solomon, or is it just poetry? So which are you? Are you a warrior? And you ladies, you don't have to be. I imagine, though, if somebody tried to come for your child, you would turn into this vicious ninja. You know, I pray it never comes to that. I've never had to pull the trigger, thank God. But I've had to pull out my gun a few times, and I stopped some situations that would have been very bad. Just the presence of it got some folks' attention. Oh, sorry, sir. I won't rob you now. It's a good idea. Right? All right. Let's stand. I could preach on Melchizedek for a while. There's so much depth there, but you guys can study it out for yourself. You men, look, some of us are getting too old to fight these young bucks. That's why I ain't about to fight some. Back in the day, I remember I fought this dude. He was 6'5", you know, 250 pounds. I'm looking up at him. I'm thinking this is going to be rough. Right? But see, I was mean and nasty. And I whipped him. But let me tell you something. After that, I was realizing, I don't want to live this way. That was before I came back to Jesus. I was like, I don't want to live like this. And I'm sitting here now. I'm 52 years old. I don't want to fight that young 250-pound, 6'5" guy. You know? Because I'm going to lose, probably. But guess what? There are some things that I can pull out that equalize the situation. That is with you ladies as well. You know? And so I know I will have more stones for talking about this. But again, that's all right. It is truth. It's unpleasant truth. But I told somebody too, I said, look, you can get all upset at my Second Amendment video if you want to. I said, but, you know, I am running for governor of the state of Alabama. So, you know, as governor, I have to pledge to protect the rights of all the people. And part of that right is the right to bear arms and the right to defend yourself and your property and your family. And so I'm going to do that. So, you know, if there's some, you know, these, I guess there's just some super spiritual Christians that's more spiritual than me. And that's all right. I'm just a practical guy. You want to eat, you work. You want to provide safety and security for your family, you do what's necessary. The main reason I have guns is because I want to hunt. But, you know, if you come looking for my family, you become the hunted. Amen? And I can shoot you from a long ways off. All right. So, does Jesus love the wicked? Yep. But y'all know the days ahead are coming that people are going to take the mark of the beast, and there is no redemption. They're going to be completely out of their mind, pretty much zombies. They're going to take the mark of the beast, and they are going to they're going to be past being redeemed. No hope, no forgiveness. Now, you think somebody like that's going to have a conscience? Yeah, and I agree that with that, Troy, saying their genetic makeup's going to be changed. I believe it talks about men who won't repent no matter what they see happening. Think about that. All the things that God's going to do in the end, and they're going to see it all and know it's God. They say, "Gotta go curse God," but they won't repent. Wow, that's where we're going to be. So, you know, you better make up your mind, especially you men, to act like men. You hear me? Be screaming like girls and running behind the hill. Let's pray. And we're going to dismiss. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord, I don't expect everybody to be a warrior. I don't expect everybody to understand this principle or feel that they're called to be protectors and defenders of life and the weak and those who are drawn toward death. But, Lord, that's okay. Lord, we bless them and we pray for everyone, Lord. We're all called to be different parts of the body. And I pray that people understand that. And, Lord, we thank you for this truth. Lord, help us all pray and believe more than anything that you will protect and you will provide and you will heal. But, Lord, sometimes, Lord, you allow us to stand up and do things we have to do, like go to the doctor or go to work or defend ourselves or defend our families. So, Lord, I thank you for helping us to bring balance into this situation. And we thank you for your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I'm done early today. It's only 12:05. Y'all want to do a song real quick? Let's do The Heart of Worship again. I know it's an old one, but I love it. And we'll do that, and then we'll go to lunch. We're going to eat lunch here. Yeah, everybody's welcome to stay. We just go get what you want and come back and eat together. So what we do now.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Yours. every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. You're looking into my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you.
Lord, we worship you today. We thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer and our deliverer and our provider. And Lord, we're just grateful that you are with us. And Lord, we ask you to continue to lead us and guide us into all truth. We ask you to put your angels round about us. We ask you, Lord, we ask you to help us fight through this censorship issue and break through that. Lord, we pray for your blessings and you to help us get the message out still, regardless of what's going on. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.